When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning back into another episode of the Inspire Health Podcast. Today, we're doing things a little bit different, and I'm actually going to run for you a episode that was a interview that Tay and I actually did for Peggy Hall of The Healthy American. And you can check her work out at thehealthyamerican.org. Peggy's an educator and an activist, and she provides a lot of encouragement and empowerment to help people better understand their rights and how to actually defend their freedoms and uphold their rights. And we interviewed Peggy over a year ago for one of the series that we did. And we got to know her and really loved the work that she was doing. And we were telling her about the newest series that we were putting together that's called Our Sons and Daughters, How to Best Support Our Future Generations. This is something that Tay and I have been actively creating over this last little bit and putting a really amazing panel of different guests that are going to be sharing their concepts on what we can do to support our kids, both from a education perspective, from a health perspective, as far as what really is going to be beneficial for them moving forward in these changing times. And so Peggy asked to interview us. So we're going to share a little bit more about this upcoming series and why this is close and near and dear to our hearts. So if you haven't heard of Peggy Hall before, go check her out at thehealthyamerican.org. She's got a lot of resources and information on her website that are readily available. So whether you're looking at health or upholding your health freedoms or just law as far as what you can and can't do and how to uphold your own sovereignty, she's a wealth of information. So go check that out. And I hope that you enjoyed this episode where Peggy is interviewing us. And make sure to stay tuned for our upcoming events in our upcoming series on Our Sons and Daughters, How to Best Support Our Future Generations. We're going to have some really timely conversations, and I think it's going to be a wealth of resources for everybody. All right, take care, and I will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Hey friends, Peggy Hall back with you from thehealthyamerican.org. I have a couple of healthy Americans with me, and this is Jason and Taya, and we connected way back in the early days of the hogwash, as I call it. Do you remember that? Can you believe we're going on year 5? And there were several of us waving our hands saying, wait, this doesn't add up. Who's with me? Who can read between the lies, as I call it? And Jason and Taya, it's so great to reconnect with you. You are really making positive waves of change. I love your outlook, which is looking forward and looking for solutions. And you are bringing solutions in terms of helping the future of our children. So welcome.
Thanks so much for having us back on, Peggy. Yeah, it was, gosh, what was it? I don't know if it was a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, we had you on our series called The Illusion of Free Choice. The Illusion of Free Choice, A Return to Mastering Your Own Life. So, yeah, one of the things we do, we've been running a podcast called The Inspire Health Podcast since 2019, and it was primarily around health. I mean, I practice as a naturopathic doctor and an osteopath, until I actually resigned in 2023 due to the ridiculous censorship that goes on. We're out here in Canada, so healthy Americans out, healthy North Americans.
I love that.
And it focused really around natural health and whatnot. We still do a lot of that, but when everything started to go really crazy in 2020, we really started to expand our outreach and look at a lot of other topics that we just thought were really important to dive into. So it went from one topic to another. I mean, the one we did with you around the illusion of free choice was really important. Just a question, you know, be able to discern information, and it went into so many different layers. But one of the things that we really like to do is we'll take a topic and we, which is different than I think a lot of other podcasts, we take a topic and then we bring on anywhere from 8 to probably over 20 guests at different times to really round out and explore and expand upon the perspectives to really round a topic out. And our most recent one that I think came to us at one point, I think Taya was like, oh, when she was in the shower, it's like, oh, our sons and daughters supporting our future generations. And so we feel like this is the time now to really figure out what does that mean and how do we start to support people in this next step?
Well, that's just thrilling because that, in my perspective, is how we got into this fix in the first place, that children have been literally trained to not question authority, to go along, well, actually to go along with this artificial authority where teachers, and there are wonderful teachers out there, but the system puts the child and the teacher at a disadvantage. And we have all of these sayings and perspectives such as teacher knows best, and you know, we can't do that until you finish your homework. So there are so many restrictions that are placed on natural learning. I think it really squelches children's natural curiosity, their desire to explore and discover and really soar. You know, children are put into classes based on their age, and there's probably some, you know, some good to that, but certainly there is not a lot of attention put on their growth, their development, and their own independent learning. So having a nation, North America, you know, having a nation of children who don't question authority, who just go along with what they've been taught, and then these children become adults, and then it's right for the government to inflict these ridiculous, ludicrous, absurd, immoral, unethical, unconstitutional, unthinkable requirements, and many people didn't question. So I feel like you're really getting to the root of the problem, not just plucking the leaves off the tree, but really getting to the root of the problem.
It totally needs to be re-looked at and redone. I mean, part of this conversation that we're going to have, and as we're bringing in different guests and different experts and parents, and I mean, it's a wide group of people. We just finished talking just earlier today, our first episode for this series with an author, Pete Hendrickson, who actually wrote a book called Cracking the Code, specifically around demystifying taxation in America. But in our conversation we had with him, he homeschooled his kids. And a lot of integrity, able to really critically think and think outside the box and see things from a different perspective. And I mean, this is paramount right now for our kids to be able to do that. And one of the things he said that he really felt was at the heart of what kids really needed to learn early on was they needed to know truth for themselves. And this is at a real foundational step for us, is when we were kind of thinking about, because we homeschool our kids, I don't even like the term homeschooling. It's something very different, but at the heart of it was we really wanted them to have such a strong sense of self that was their foundation. And then whatever they come across, they've got that to bounce everything else off of. And I feel like, you know, socialization things take place so soon and in different ways where it's like they lose that early on. And so that's a foundational piece. And then how do we actually do that? What are the different ways that we can really cultivate an environment that allows kids to genuinely know who they are and trust their own experience, trust their own knowing? And I mean, and they're going to be powerhouse kids that are necessary to keep moving forward and make the changes that we, you know, that I feel like all of us are really trying to get the ball rolling and start off. It's really to create that environment for these powerhouse kids to come in and take it to the next level.
Well, I'm curious to know what happened in Canada in the early days. You know, in California, which was arguably the most shut down state, the schools were shut down. Children were learning online. I can't say that they were actually learning. They were sitting in front of computers. And I think that was a huge awakening for parents that actually were home and looking over the shoulder of their child and then saying, what? is going on here? What are you learning? What is being presented? And then realizing that, you know, there's the whole curriculum aspect to look at. But when the schools were reopened and the children were required to cover their only two airways for breathing, going to that principle that you mentioned here, Jason, about trusting yourself and knowing yourself and relying on that, like to have an authority figure tell you that covering your mouth is healthy, and then your own, you know, I would call it your God-given conscience, your own instinct, your own knowing to say, this isn't right. I can't breathe. I can't see my friends' faces. I can't see the faces of my teachers. I don't know if someone is smiling at me or scowling at me. I don't know if, you know, we have an instinct, or I'll speak for myself, that someone with a masked face, that instills fear or trepidation or at least caution. Like, what's going on here? Why is that person covering their identity? So that one example of children being told, being required in this kind of setting by authority figures that you must do this or you can't go to school, something's wrong with you if you don't care about your, you know, fellow student, that's a whole other topic, mm-hmm. about not taking responsibility for yourself. But that conflict of the authority figure telling you as a young child something that you know is wrong, I think those harms are very deep, and hopefully they're not going to be long lasting. So what was it like in Canada? Was it the same kind of setup?
Absolutely. They even put yellow tape around playgrounds, took down basketball hoops, and just talked children out of being together and joyful and playing because the cooties is going to come around and get you and your grandmother. Same story, same narrative.
Well, and they also, I don't know if it happened in the US, but in Canada, they didn't even need parental consent. They were able to actually mm-hmm. come and vaccinate kids in the schools, I think it was like 12 years old and up, without parental consent.
Well, there was even events that would be held at the time that the lockdowns were present, where they would be giving out free popsicles, free donuts. There were shows being put on where they were luring kids in, and they were also broadcasting the fact that, yes, the kids did not need parental permission to come and have medical intervention to alter their DNA.
Yeah, that's exactly what was happening in California. It still is to this day. Mm-hmm. And it's absolutely astonishing. And the flip side is that a lot of parents now are looking for superior alternatives. Mm-hmm. Not only are they concerned about the curriculum, they're concerned about these forced and inflicted health medical interventions that are not wanted, and then the squelching of independent thought, curiosity, discovery, all of that. So that really, you know, evil carries its own seeds of destruction. And although it is trying to spoil, you know, these opportunities for learning and so forth for the children, at the end of the day, it backfires. And so many parents now are getting their children out of, basically, they're the government schools that really resemble prisons. So I'm actually really curious about your situation, your children, their ages. And I agree with you, Jason. I don't like the term homeschooling because that gives the idea that you're reproducing school at home, and it's actually you're throwing the shackles off. So I'd love to hear more about what you're doing.
Yeah, family-led life learning is one of the terms that we came up with, because it really isn't schooling. We're not schooling anybody. It's there's child-led learning, which is a term that I've heard of before, and in our experience, firsthand experience, that's been accurate as well. Our children are between the ages of 7 and 20. So there's a 7-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 20-year-old. 20-year-old is currently in university, and the 7 and 8-year-old were homeschooling, and there were so many apprehensions about it initially. As I'm sure most parents experience as well when they're first getting into this, but the alternative, as you had mentioned, when COVID happened, our kids were around the age that, you know, we typically would be going and registering them into the school system. But because of all the mandates and the masks that were being forced on the children, there was no way we were going to have them put under those circumstances. So we just held on to them, and it's been such an amazing ride. Like I feel like we've had this. It's been such a gift because we've gotten to really know who our children are, and what they actually bring into the world with them. You know, it's not that our children come in with a clean slate and we need to force information onto them. And I feel like that's where a lot of the apprehension stems from. It's like, oh, am I putting on enough information? Am I occupying them enough? Am I teaching them enough things for them to know how to, you know, navigate this life? But when you actually spend the time and are really present with your children and observe, you really start to see their personalities, their natural talents and God-given abilities start to come online. And all we're doing now is supporting that. And it's been so beautiful.
Well, and then you can use those things as like learning tools even. So it's like, we were just talking the other day about my 8-year-old. I mean, she loves dogs. So it's like
animals in general, but dogs.
And so she's full on in. Like, yeah. So she wants to know everything there is about that. So then you can incorporate that because that's her natural, like she's all in when it comes to dogs. So then if you can incorporate that in different ways that you want to, whether you're helping them with learning how to use numbers better or reading or whatever it's going to be, you can incorporate some of those things. And, you know, you can tailor it in a very different way than you're capable in a system where you've got, you know, 25 to 30 kids that a teacher's trying to work with. I mean, if you can make it work, it's such a dynamic and different process with them. And it also doesn't require the same amount of time.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You know, there's so much wasted time in the amount of scheduled schooling. It's not really designed to educate the student in that much of time. There's a lot of other pieces that go into that. But you're able to basically help to really tailor things for them and find a way that excites them about the learning. So, bottom line, Peggy, we didn't really know what we were doing when we started. We were sort of exploring, and different people would pop in. And, mm-hmm. you know, we had a couple days a week where we would have them go to a full outdoor nature school. Everything was outside. And some of the things I loved about that is it got us to even question, like, what is even really important at this point to cultivate for our kids? You know, is what I got taught going through school, is that still as important? Was it ever as important? But, you know, going through these processes and some of the work by like people like John Young, and I don't know if you've seen this, but like the Coyotes Guide, we interviewed him a little while ago, and he'll be on this series as well, I think. But that's from a nature perspective. So really getting them grounded in nature, and then cultivating things like quiet mind, critical thinking, On reverence, like genuine on reverence for things that they see. Can you see that sparkle in their eye? Those are very different things that you would not really be cultivating in a conventional system. So it got us kind of questioning, and again, like them really knowing themselves. These are, I think, really fundamental things that are going to be incredibly valuable for our children moving forward in the way the world's going to be. And as we reshape it, I want that to be a part of what's going to be changing. And it's there when they're tied to nature and they spend lots of time outdoors doing this kind of stuff. It's inherent in the process.
Well, that is really thrilling. And I've heard that again and again from parents and from other experts in these superior learning alternative. I love that family-led learning. And just as you said, Jason, you're not recreating school from 7:30 or 8 in the morning until 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And I've had parents that have had objections such as, well, I work, or you know, we both work, or I'm a single parent and I don't have time. And my answer is always, you don't have to do it during the day. I mean, you can encourage this type of learning in the evenings, on the weekends, just as you are with your children. And the other thing you said, Teo, which really is so touching, and I think this is one of the most profound benefits of keeping the children in the family and promoting this kind of learning, is the deepening of the relationships. I've had parents tell me in confidence back in the early days when they were struggling in California, and I was offering these ideas such as, well, your child doesn't have to go to school. They don't have to be sent into these situations. And more than one parent said to me, I don't think I can spend that much time with my child all day. I don't know what I'm going to do. And, you know, I've got a 12-year-old and we have conflict. And then as time went on, the picture changed. And they said, as you did, spending time with my child actually healed our relationship. Mm-hmm. The conflicts resolved and dissolved because we got to know each other better. It wasn't so limited in time, in terms of time, that I can only be with my daughter when I'm home from work. And they were able to work it out so that it was a joy. It was not a strain. And to me, that's one of the greatest benefits. And I just love hearing those stories.
Absolutely. I mean, how many of us have broken relationships with our parents? And, you know, we go to, how many of us have spent so much money in counseling because of it, and that hasn't really gone anywhere. But to really have this intimate quality time with our children as they grow up, it's such a valuable thing.
Well, we were just talking about this actually this morning, because I mean, the way we've kind of structured things, mm-hmm. and it also required us to play with dynamics, reprioritize, make changes, figure out timing in different ways. You know, it does require the parents to have to re-look at what they're doing and just kind of figure out, like, what do I really want to do? And if you do really want to do something like that with your kids, because you're not okay with the system, then how do you start the process of restructuring to make it happen? And most of the time when you really do, ways pop up. I mean, even we still find like resources pop in when we're needing something. All of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Oftentimes like last minute.
Yeah. And then it's like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And then it's a whole nother thing that we can kind of create for the kids, and it works out for them. But, you know, I find like for my kids, first thing in the morning is that actually now it's an incredibly joyful time, because it's not, oh, get up, let's go get your lunch ready. Like, you got to get the bus. It's intense. And it's a kickstart for most families that it's probably not the way it's really designed to be, where, you know, everything is so stressed and rushed first thing in the morning. I mean, that's like prime snuggle time with the kids. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, they right away, they're still a little sleepy and they cuddle on in, and, you know, we've created a space where we can have that space for that before we begin the next piece of things. So, you know,
and we have had to restructure things. I mean, we live with my mom. She lives on the upper floor. We live on the lower floor. Jay's given up his clinic hours, and that's been completely restructured. I'm primarily home with the children. So we also have to be open to major changes if we're wanting to really meet our desires in a completely new way. We have to, in a lot of ways, I feel like, step into the unknown and know that we're being held by a benevolent force beyond what we can ever know through the physical. But these are the things that come up as we are, you know, just reevaluating our whole life and the ways in which we are currently living, because it just doesn't work. Like, we have to be honest with ourselves. The way we're living just doesn't work. That's why things are falling to shits right now. It's falling apart because we need to find different ways of doing things.
Well, I really love what you said there. And Jason, a couple of things I want to underline, because one is that in the early days, or I don't know if you're still doing this, but you said that you had the children go to this nature program a couple of days a week. And some parents find that really enhancing to their child's learning and development, because they have other children around. There are some days when you don't have to think about what are we going to do today. And it's really a beautiful balance. And there are parents that find these kinds of groups, whether they're enrolling their children in the nature schools or a couple of days a week, maybe they're going off where there are homeschool types of learning setups where some of the harder subjects are being, maybe not the harder, but some of the traditional subjects are being taught, like math and science, where, you know, the families are having a more impact in reading and language and that kind of thing. So that's always an opportunity and an option for parents. And then the other thing that I think is so important is you said we had to figure it out. We modified. We realized that our morning routine was wonderful this way, snuggling with the children and not having that stress and strain. So I think it's always important. So our friends that are tuning in here that are thinking about this, you can mix and match. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. You could even, with your family, say, we're going to do this. Let's do it for a month. We'll have the children out of school. We'll try it for a month. We'll experiment. We'll explore. And we'll see what happens. I think that diving in and making it all or nothing for some families can be more than they're ready for. And then once they dip their toe in the water and they see the benefits and trusting themselves, as you're saying, Taya, that you just have to jump. You know, the resources will show up, the people will show up, and it doesn't have to be perfect. I also believe that parents are the best teachers for their children because they know the children the best. Even though there may be some skilled teachers, they will never know your child as you do. So I think those are really important elements to include. And I want to, for friends that are just tuning in, you can hear in an in-depth manner the podcast with Jason and Taya, and they're going to be interviewing a lot of these homeschool experts. Let's take just a moment and do a little commercial break for what you're doing and how people can get in touch with you to make sure that they can tune in and benefit as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think the easiest way to get everything that we're doing is going to inspirelife.earth. So that's inspirelife.earth. That'll take you to where we've created everything as a private member association. It's one of the things we've had to do in Canada to really be able to offer uncensored information, as everything is really getting more and more censored out here. And the other one, people can go to the Inspire Health podcast, and you'll see a whole bunch of old series and everything else that we've done from that point as well. But inspirelife.earth is where people can actually come and email us and then become a member, and then they can get in to have access to all the different things that we're doing.
And I should mention too that the episodes, whether you're looking to get one, listen to one episode, or, you know, our entire previous series, which had over 22 episodes, as well as all the ones that we will host within this series, it's $11 a month, and you can log in. And again, we're not making riches by charging this much. It's just basically to host our platform. But it's a way for us to be able to be uncensored and be in the private. So then it's not constantly kicked off of YouTube. So it's really for that reason.
The Inspire Health Podcast will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, that is one of my mottos. There's always another way, and I'm going to find it. And more people are moving in that direction where they are doing things in the private. And I'm grateful that we can talk about this on my channel and then direct people who want to learn more about this. I really feel a wave, like a new wave of learning is being ushered in. I think it's thrilling. It's exciting. In California, I've read reports of up to 1 million students are not showing up at school. The enrollment numbers have dropped over the years to the tune of 1 million students. I see that as 1 million, you know, times however many people that those lives are going to touch that are literally being saved and improved for the better. So that is really wonderful. What else would you like to share?
I would just want to share with the parents a great author, and he was a teacher for decades, and he actually...
He was a celebrated teacher.
He won many awards. John Taylor Gatto. I'm not sure if you're familiar yes. with him. From the time that I picked up his book, I've been so deeply moved by his words because I feel like they're so relevant, and they are his words... even though he's passed away, he's no longer with us, are just echoing in the hearts of so many right now, because we can see the educational system, the institutions for what they are, and they're not there to meet our children. They're not there to help our children thrive. They're there to create more factory workers and keep the status quo going. And I feel like, you know, the kids that are coming in and have been coming in for the long while that we've been kind of numbing them down and dumbing them down with perhaps even medication, they've come in to create a completely different system. They've come in to create an overhaul with the current systems, because a much better way of meeting our children is needed. So I think, you know, I really feel this celebratory sort of vibe as well, because I feel like this is the time for us to really come to a place where we can discard things, systems that are no longer working or meeting us as well as our families, in order to create something new. And we're doing it together.
Well, and Peggy, you said that you believe that parents are the best educators for their kids. And I would totally agree with that for the vast majority of them. And it's the same philosophy I have with healthcare for our kids. And that's something we'll explore in this series as well, is how to even support our kids from a natural, healthy perspective. It's, you know, moms particularly, dads as well, but moms particularly have that real strong that, you know, was a physical bond, which becomes more of a psycho-emotional bond after. But it's like the care, the genuine care that can come when parents know what to do for the vast majority of things that they can manage on their own very effectively. That comes across to the kids. And when the kids pick up on that, their natural immune system just kicks in gear. And it's like, it's and they feel confident about it. Then they know that their body's capable of, rather than every little thing that goes wrong, you're kind of hauling them off all the time to the doctor or something. And it's like, I'm not saying there's not a place for that at times, but honestly, 99% of the stuff that comes up, parents with some know-how can manage almost everything up until a point. But if they have the skills to do that and the know-how, and they can be there, that genuine care and lovingness for their kids, it happens over and over again. I'm always astounded by how quickly kids can heal just through natural means with love and care from their parents.
Well, that is huge. And that is really going to resonate with my audience, because they are all about leaving the mainstream medical merry-go-round behind. And it's funny you use that word confidence, Jason, because that's the word that came to mind when you were talking mm-hmm. about that. So children feeling confident, parents feeling confident, and that is the biggest threat to the established society right now. They want people fearful, sick, dependent on the government or other authorities, not making decisions for themselves, being told that you're responsible. Now, obviously, we are responsible for some people in our lives, but by and large, responsible adults should be responsible for themselves. But it's that lack of confidence that drives the fear that then can make these emotional responses and choices that people may regret down the line. So I am thrilled to hear about that piece as well. And it's really a natural topic to explore as children are learning and discovering as well, right? The body and health and natural health. So,
and Peggy, it's a blast. It's like my 8-year-old particularly, like, you know, she's really fascinated by that aspect of things with healthcare and the kind of work that I've done for a while. But, you know, even getting them used to that, they spend a lot of time outside, but now it's like, we actually go and we'll collect herbs, we'll make our own tinctures, we'll make bombs with it, we'll do all of those types of things. So they see, you know, for the most part, you can look out and you've got a natural pharmacy just outside your window. And then they learn how to kind of incorporate that thing. Not that everybody needs to do that much stuff with it, but when the kids get that connection early on that they can manage things on their own, or that there's a lot of different ways to work with things, that becomes their normal. Their normal is not that something's wrong and, oh, I've got to outsource it right away to somebody else to fix it. They know their body can work very well and that it can heal, and they just need to support it with generally what nature has already provided for the most part.
I love that. It reminds me of a story that I read a few years ago. I was subscribed to these magazines about homesteading and all of that, which I never really did the homesteading. I wanted to, but anyway, I read about it. And one of the stories was written by a woman who said when she was a young girl, her mom had a garden and she grew up on a farm. And she had this fascination with herbs. And so her mom allowed her to plant her own little herbal garden, and she was educated at home, so she was not in any school. And this also really promotes the idea of flourishing in your area. Like you were talking about, your daughter loves animals and dogs, and who knows where that is going to lead her in the future. Well, with this young woman, she was a little girl at the time, and that just became her obsession, her fascination, and everything she did was to learn and study and grow the herbs. And she went on to write a book about herbs and about the tinctures and about healing. And imagine if she had been in a traditional school setting where they would have diverted her attention into, I don't know, mathematics or history or science, all the while draining her time, energy, and resources away from what she really was fascinated about. So I also love that about children having the opportunity to really explore and dive into things that fascinate them. And this actually happened to be about herbs, and that was her entire profession. And so I think that's really exciting. So friends that are listening, you have heard some of my previous broadcasts about getting your children out of these public prison type schools. When you look at the setup, you've got children. You mentioned the children going on drugs, Taya, and this is so heartbreaking to me. Think about it. You've got a 6-year-old or 7-year-old being told to sit in a chair lined up with the other students, probably chomping at the bit because they want to run and play and explore and dig and create and all of that. And they can't leave until the bell rings and they have that authority telling them that it's okay. And then in order to counteract these natural desires to run and play and scream and shout and play and fight and all that stuff that children do, then they're drugged so that they will be these good little soldiers sitting in their seats. It is so distressing to me. So this is a game changer on so many levels. Friends that are listening, if you have been on the fence, or maybe you're not even a parent, but you know someone that has children, maybe you're a grandparent and you've been grappling with the situation where your children have their children in the public school, please let them know about this in-depth series that is going to be offered, and I'll have all of the links for you in the description box below. You've heard from my guests here. If you're not inspired by what they're doing and what this holds for our future, I know that you will be. So please take advantage of this, learn more, share the information. And as we're wrapping up here, friends, what else would you like to add?
And that's really our hope. I mean, we share what truly excites and inspires us. And I feel like this particular series is a really timely one with regards to supporting our sons and daughters. And I'm really excited for what's going to be shared within these conversations and what it's going to entice in others as they listen in and they start to get inklings and inspirational thoughts themselves.
It's always fun because as we do it and as we're researching it and coming across different people, it's like then other people pop in. Mm-hmm. And so our series always end up starting at a certain size and they always end up being larger than we anticipated because just more and more people come into it. But yeah, I think it's just such a timely time. These series pop in when sort of whatever's going on in the world, it seems like there's an impetus that's calling to discuss something and bring a message out in a larger way. And right now, probably also because of our journey going through this with our kids and exploring it, we're really excited to learn what we're going to learn from the other people. And I think what we're going to do is for people that want to be a part of the series, something I want to do is create a bit of a booklet from each episode of resources. So like take out some of the key points and the key resources that different guests have used, create that so that when people are interested, they can kind of just download a booklet that's like, here's awesome resources and references, and here's how you can get started. Because I know that would be incredibly helpful for us and for a lot of other people that are, you know, embarking on this type of a journey.
Absolutely. You know, parents want the best for their children by and large. And there is that concern of, I don't want them to fall behind. Am I doing it right? Am I covering the right things? And there's no, it's not one size fits all. Well, it is one size fits all. It fits the size of your children,
yeah,
and their desires and their interests. And there's really not a wrong way to do it. So I love that you're inviting different voices to talk about different approaches that people can mix and match and fine tune and create something that is going to be meaningful and relevant, not only for their children, but for the whole family. I love talking about solutions. And, you know, friends, you always have been solutions oriented. I know I fly off the handle. I do have my epic rants, but I'm telling you, you are positive and you're all about the how-to and let's move ahead. And these are great opportunities. So I personally want to thank you for bringing that approach and outlook and attitude, because it is needed now more than ever. I'm always trying to remind my viewers to get out of the spin cycle and to don't obsess about what's going on, be informed about current events, but really focus on your life. And that's what this is all about, your life, the future of your children. And really that has that massive ripple effect into our societies and our world. So give us the website one more time, and I'll link that for everybody in the description box.
InspireLife.earth and InspireHealthPodcast.com.
And I love the name because that's what it's all about, being inspired to know better, do better, live better. And I want to thank you for this. Friends, you know where to find me. I'm over at peggyhall.substack.com. I'll also have a summary of our interview in that Substack, along with the link so that you can click through, and please share this important information with others who can benefit. Thank you, friends. I look forward to hearing more, and I am sending all my best wishes for a fantastic series, and until we meet again.
Thanks so much, Peggy. And thank you for all the great work that you do.
Oh, truly my pleasure. Take care now.
You too.
Bye.